The road to an election in Fiji is long and increasingly difficult. Last week, the interim government, led by Commodore Frank Bainimarama, missed the deadline it had set for itself to deliver a draft constitution. The previous draft, written by a constitutional committee staffed by international experts, was rejected by the interim administration. The Fijian election is scheduled for next year. In the meantime, a range of decrees made by the interim government, particularly one concerning the registration of political parties, is causing concern in the region. Professor Bridge Lull from the Australian National University's College of Asia and the Pacific says that the authors of the new constitution are going about things the wrong way.
Well, I think that the interim administration is trying to cart before the horse. I think the most important thing for the interim regime to do is to try and get a new constitution in place. Take your time. Consult with the people. The High Commission certainly did. But this constitution that is being drafted by the regime is being drawn up by faceless men and women in the Attorney General's office, and they have no accountability to anybody except to their master. They're very rigid when it comes to, imposing decrees and enforcing compliance with decrees that they issue with great regularity. Expect political parties to be registered within 28 days and so forth. And yet they are themselves unable to abide by the timetable that they have set for themselves. So I think that that one has to be very careful. What is good for the goose must be good for the gander.
Last month, the interim government issued a decree that demands that political parties need 5,000 members and must register or re-register within 28 days. The deadline is next week. Rowan Kallick, Asia Pacific editor at The Australian, is concerned that there might not be any new parties registered at all.
It looks possible that we may see no parties registered, and so there will be an alternative for the present military government to keep going, I guess, in that case. We may see some parties registered, very strict requirements as to how many words in the name. The name must be in English, so that rules out the previously most popular in voting terms party, whose name was in Fijian, who are changing their name consequently to try to get up into Social Democratic Liberal Party, SDL, which really doesn't mean very much, does it? Because it means everything. So very interesting time to see which parties and which affiliations they have do succeed in gaining registration. If none, we're into very interesting new terrain, and really whatever happens with the constitutional review or doesn't happen will not be so significant.
Both Mr. Kallick and Professor Lull say that the Australian Foreign Minister, Bob Carr, is giving the Fijian interim government the benefit of the doubt. On January 14, Minister Carr told the ABC that he was disappointed by the original draft constitution being rejected, but confident that the election itself would not be delayed, an election that he said would see Fiji return to the community of democracies. But Professor Lull believes that Bob Carr may be missing an important point.
He's answering the wrong question. I think the question really not is whether elections will be held in 2014. I think most people will agree that the regime really has no choice but to observe that commitment it has given to the people of Fiji and to the international community. I think the more important question is what kind of elections will be held. Will all political parties be allowed to freely participate in elections without any hindrance from the regime? Will be allowed to stand or not allowed to stand? What will be the role of the Fiji military forces in all of this? What kind of electoral system will be in place? Now,
Rowan Kallick believes that what the foreign minister says or does might not even make any difference.
There have been various commentators saying, obviously Australia has quite a role to play in the region, and it's gone on for long enough. We should make our peace with the Fiji regime and encourage them, usher them on the road to liberal democracy. And we've done quite an amount of that, I think, but it doesn't matter really. The issue is Frank Bainimarama a sort of partner that one can deal with, one can make agreements with, one can trust in terms of fulfilling obligations and agreeing things? There's not much evidence of that.
Human rights organisations have expressed concerns about a lack of transparency in the constitutional drafting process. Kate Schutze, Pacific researcher with Amnesty International, says that citizens in Fiji are being restricted by decrees on the media and the right to assembly, and freedom of expression is suffering.
Fiji Times has been charged with contempt of court for publishing comments by a person about the judiciary. There's also a human rights organisation, Citizens Constitutional Forum, who's also been charged with contempt of court for publishing an article relating to a report of the UK Law Society. We've also seen a number of cases like against trade unionists and former politicians, which come under various different laws. So some of them have been charged under corruption. Some of them have been charged under more serious crimes such as sedition. But we certainly have concerns that, you know, they're being charged now in this current climate when government says it's moving forward towards elections in 2014 and says that there are no restrictions on freedom of speech, and clearly that's not the case that we're seeing. In terms of the constitution and the draft, the one thing that we've said all the way along is that we'd be very concerned if there are immunities for serious human rights violations. And our view would be that, you know, you can't grant immunities for serious human rights violations under international human rights law. And I know that's something that government has said throughout is a non-negotiable term for them, but Amnesty is particularly strong on that.
What violations are you talking about?
Well, a number of people are being taken up to the military camp. So there's allegations of torture, cruel and degrading treatment, which haven't been addressed since 2006 when this government came into power.
Rowan Kallick says that while things could be much worse for Fijians, these events show a disappointing decline in what was once a very different country.
Fiji is not a place of horrendous abuse and violence against citizens, you know, that might be compared with some other countries around the world, but it's a country that's been used to better things and better times and greater freedoms.